Why does a person give up? Because they are convinced in their mind that things are not going to get any better. Somebody needs to be able to step up and say, your failure is not final. There is a God in heaven who cares more about you than you care about yourself.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This message was taken from a recent Sunday service here at Pace Assembly. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers. This is Your Failure Isn't Final.
Slap your neighbor a high five and tell him I'm going to stand for Jesus. An hour later, somebody else comes in and they say, hey, I hear you talking. Watch this. This is what really messes up. See, you can't live in the world and be in the church, in the kingdom at the same time, because your language will give you away. Ooh, yeah. You're trying to live both sides of the fence. He said, I you sound just like Jesus. You're from Galilee, aren't you? I don't know the man. Cursed. Come on now. I should say he cussed. He cussed Jesus. Wait a minute. This was the preacher a few moments ago that said, I'm going all the way with you. This is the same one who had the revelation. When Jesus asked him, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It was Peter that God gave the revelation to, that thou art the Christ, not one of many. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I'm going to tell you when this messes you up, because some of you are not living where you need to be living right now. You're not all the way in. You're too out to be in, and you're too lost to be saved, and you're too saved to be lost. You are a miserable, tormented, agitated individual. You're playing into the devil's hands. Because there you are sitting on the stool down at the bar trying to talk to somebody next to him about the things of God, and they're going, what? You out on the dance floor. Trying to shout. Come on, everybody else is. You're over there. You better come out. You better get on one side or the other. Well, they don't like me at that church. We don't know you because you don't come enough. Bible says that when he denied him three times, that the cock crowed. And this is one of the most riveting places in this scripture. The Bible says that Jesus turned and their eyes met. Can you imagine? The Bible says that Peter remembered what Jesus said. He looked into the face of Jesus. I don't believe Jesus was looking at him like, I believe the penetrating eyes of the Master, the loving eyes of the Savior, looked into his soul and said, Peter, it'll be all right. The Bible says that Peter left and went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Oh, my God. Listen to this preacher this morning. Are you listening? You better hear me. You better never not be able to weep over your own downfalls and sins. If you get to a place where the tears don't run down your cheeks when you fail the Lord or when you say something or do something that offends the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, you better let tears roll down your face. Get in that prayer closet until it burns out. I'm not talking about tears being repentance. I'm talking about a whole hard heart that won't cry over your sins anymore. I came to tell you, I still cry over my sins because I've hurt the heart of God. Lord, let me be broken in your presence so I know what I've done. Peter remembered what Jesus said. What did Jesus say, Pete? Rock, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. This was the full court press attack from Satan. Now let me describe what happens. And before you want to read this as some story about Peter, I'm telling your story, mine. Because when you fail the Lord, it'd be one thing if you didn't know him. It'd be one thing if I was ignorant in my sins and I didn't know anything. But because I've been born again, I've been saved. When I fail, the enemy who has tempted me now stands off to condemn me. And the possibility, and we're watching this, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, I just put it out on Prophecy Files. The suicide rate in the United States of America is at an all-time high. What does that say? It says that there are people who believe that there is no way out, no hope, no future. And the enemy loves to play. But remember what his job is, to steal, kill, and to destroy. It is possible, believer, to sink from your failure if you don't respond immediately to the Lord. It is possible to sink into depression. The enemy jump on your shoulder with a spirit of defeat. Whisper in your ear like he has mine. There is no use. You might as well quit. And you can lay there and wallow in your pain and in your guilt and in your shame. And in a spirit of unforgiveness, and I'm not worthy. All of that. You can wallow in the ground if you want to. But I need to take you back to the cross for just a moment. Because Jesus wasn't crucified with all of his clothes on, y'all. He wasn't crucified with a loincloth on. Oh, my God. They stripped him and beat him so unmercifully. Wait a minute. For you and me. They beat him so bad that the Bible said he was unrecognizable as a man. Wasn't some cleaned up Jesus. Wasn't some Easter drama Jesus with a loincloth on. Why did they strip him? To shame him. Why did they make him carry his own cross? So he could feel the load of our guilt. It wasn't his guilt. It wasn't even his shame, and it wasn't his sins. But he looked down the dispensations of time and saw all of us gathered in this building. And he said, I'm going to do this one time, once and for all. Oh, my God. I don't know if anybody's hearing me preach this thing. I'm talking about they stripped him naked, y'all. Why did he do that? For your shame and for mine. Now, we're in a society right now that there is no shame in the game whatsoever, is there? People doing whatever they want to, wherever they want to, throwing it out there on Facebook, social media for everybody. They don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, but wait a minute. After all the likes and the comments and everything else, I can assure you that that person goes home with themselves, carrying the load of guilt and shame that if you're not careful, will sink you to the bottom low. That's the reason why you can't. God never meant for you to carry your own shame. Question, are we ashamed of anything today? I don't think so. To confirm the word that I'm preaching to you this hour, that Jesus took your guilt and your shame and all of your sins upon himself. And he, as I preached to you last week, cast them as far as the east is from the west, but there is a step to take. Please understand, church, blaming others will not get rid of your sin. Shaming others will not take away your shame. Guilting others will not take care of your own guilt. And regrets, everybody's got them. But if you'll give it to Jesus, I came to tell you your past is dead except for the life that you give it. If you keep talking about your past, the devil will keep pouring it on. Peter knew what had happened and he wept bitterly. Now you can stay bitter, or you can be delivered and get back up. Look at your neighbor and tell him your failure is not final. The difference between Judas and Peter. One allowed bitterness to take control of his life and he went out and hung himself. The other, this is for you. He remembered the Lord and he remembered the Lord's words of hope. And if Jesus had just said, Peter, you're going to fail, and he said nothing else, then there would be no hope, no future, nothing for me to hang my life on. But you're in a transition, and your faith is on trial, Pete. This is the test of the silence of God. Have you ever been in that place where your faith has been on trial and you prayed to God and you heard nothing back from the throne? Am I talking to two or three people here today? I'm talking about you cried out and wept bitterly, and the more you threw prayers up, the less you heard from heaven. I want you to know something, my friend. Rest assured on the word of God. God always has the plan for your future recovery in his mind and in his words. God is not stop having a plan. He outlined it, sealed the plans, rolled them up, and said, this is the way it's going to be. And this is what Jesus said. Peter, you're going to fail. Church, forget you. Joey Rogers, you're going to fail. You're going to blow it. And the more you're out front, the bigger the mess becomes. How can I ever recover? Peter remembered his words, and you better remember them today. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. I said, not Michael, not Gabriel. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can lose a lot of things. You can lose your house. You can lose your money. You can lose relationships. You can lose a lot of stuff. But whatever you do, don't lose your faith. Jesus said, I'm not praying for you not to go through the trial. You're going to go through the trial. And I'm not even praying that you're not going to fail, because you're going to fail. But when you fail, know that I've been praying for you and that your faith would not fail. Because if you'll keep your faith, you can get your house back. You can get your money back. You can get your relationship back. You can be back with God if you'll keep your faith. Look at somebody and tell them, keep your faith.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon. This is Pastor Joey Rogers of Pace Assembly. As you well know, the hurricane has been a devastation to multiple areas, and Pace Assembly is on the ground in these areas with the connections to get the materials, the supplies, the food, and the help that is needed. We need your help today. It's a long-term recovery process. So if you'd like to donate toward the effort, you can call 850-202-3100 or log on to paceassembly.org and place your donation we will make sure that every dime will get to those that are hurting. Your hands are God's hands. Would you donate today? And from all of those that are in the hurricane-affected areas, God bless you.